morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today in the studio, we have a special treat. 7,678 miles from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, internationally renowned chef Bedr Fayez is here in the studio today. Why do we have a Saudi celebrity chef and former Top Chef, Master Chef Arabia judge here in Astoria? We're going to find that out during this program. In the studio today, I also have Chef Chris Holen. Chef Chris Holen is the owner and chef of Baked Alaska. He also has a new, I don't even know what we call this, Chef Out of Water series program. Some exciting things happening there. We'll find out about that from him. So welcome, Chef Chris Holen.
Well, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you in the studio. And so grateful that you traveled all this way to be here, Chef Bedr Fayez.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The reason that Chef Bedr Fayez is here is because of a cultural exchange initiative from the King Abdulaziz Center for World Culture, which is being co-hosted by the Middle East Institute as well. And he, Chef Bedr Fayez, is here for, he's been in Portland, he's now in Astoria, he then goes to New Orleans. And what is this exchange program? Before we start talking about your fascinating background, what is this program about?
Well, this program is basically bridging the gap between the Saudi culture and the American culture. And I'm pretty much representing food in this case. And every culture has their food. And Saudi is much of a melting pot as the U.S., and it has different cultures, and people go towards good food and come together eating good food. And it's the same in the U.S., and we're just doing this to strengthen the bond and break the barriers that have been put up over the years for whatever reason.
Excellent. And Chef Chris Holen, tell us a little bit about what Chef Out of Water is and why Chef Bedr Fayez being here fits perfectly into that concept.
Oh, yeah. This cultural exchange initiative, and it aligns exactly with what we're trying to accomplish with Chef Out of Water. Creating these opportunities to have for chefs to experience other cultures, work with other foods in places they're unfamiliar with and out of their comfort zone a little bit. It's perfectly aligned with what we're trying to accomplish with Chef Out of Water.
It's cultural diplomacy. That's what you said before we went on the air. Culinary.
Culinary
and cultural diplomacy.
Yes.
But culinary, yes. I like, because we all love food and we all have to eat food, that's for sure. I also neglected to mention that the fabulous Marianne Myers, who is with North Coast Food Web and also is familiar to all of you from her various radio programs, is here in the studio. She's engineering today, and she's going to be popping in with some food questions, too, during this show today. Now that we've established why you are here, please tell us about your journey to become a celebrated Saudi chef.
Well, my love of food started at a very early age. I grew up at a time where being a chef or being a cook was a shameful taboo, if you will, that nobody does. It's reserved for expats and people who didn't do very well in school, and the sense in Saudi that you have to be an engineer or a doctor or this elite kind of educated careers, to be respected. But when I graduated high school and moved to the U.S., I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I explored in different majors. But I kind of knew that I wanted to be a chef, and once I made that decision, I stuck by it and not really put in mind the social response to this. Funny enough that the social response was very positive at that time, and this was in 2002. And apparently a lot of people wanted to be to become chefs, but that social pressure was very very strong, I guess, for people to follow through with the, with what they want to do. And I'm very honored that I kind of paved the way to for other people and to follow their dream. Not just being a chef, really, you know, whatever they want to do, you know, just if you love it, do it, and be great at it, and be and just you know, love it. So, moving along, you know, I graduated from Johnson Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island, with my culinary arts degree. And I also went to Cordon Bleu in Paris, and then moved back to Saudi in 2009. Opened my first venture, which there are actually two restaurants at the same time, which is a bit crazy. You know, unfortunately, there were failed ventures, but learned a lot from that. And the reason I went back to Saudi to start all of this stuff is to really elevate the type of food being offered to the Saudi consumer, and really show people that good quality food is worth the price, or even the adventure to try new things as well. So once I closed my restaurants, I opened a bakery, and through my bakery, I'm also addressing the same thing, to make a pretty decent bread that is affordable for other businesses to take on and use in their products that eventually goes to the consumer. So I think now in Saudi, people are getting more educated in terms of buying stuff that is that has higher quality, better taste, and of course it's a very slow movement, but you know, you can't at least it's going the right direction.
We talked about the fact that there's fast food in Saudi Arabia, and that people have a fast lifestyle, and that's everywhere in the world, it seems, today.
That's correct.
And so you are hoping that people will recognize that slow food and slowing down is a healthier thing, you know, not only physically, but also mentally.
Yes, physically, mentally, culturally, it brings the family together. It's satisfying in a lot of different ways, and slowing down makes sense because you know, you will work never ends. So just slowing down is good. Take some time. Reintroduce yourself to your family, and you know, exactly. they're nice people. I'm sure they you need to get to know them.
I think a lot of listeners would be curious about what is the Saudi food scene. I mean, I think when most Americans think of Saudi food, they think of Middle Eastern food, so they think of hummus and tahini and pita bread and rice and lamb and things like that. So, and what do you grow there? So that would be of interest, I think. And of course, Marianne, anytime you have a question, pop in.
I'm really interested in what you grow there.
Yes. What do you grow in Saudi Arabia, and what are people eating there?
Well, dates is probably the big thing that we grow in Saudi. But a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables are grown in Saudi. I can't name them all, really. But it's in... It's in areas outside of my city. It's more towards either the north parts of Saudi or the south part of Saudi. Of course, then you have, and this is the majority of produce, but then you also have different fields, if you will, you know, in the middle parts. But it's we do import a lot of produce and products from neighboring countries, the U.S., South America. So we have that kind of commercial produce scene, which is, to me, being a chef, you know, I never liked it. It's I'm a big promoter of seasonal stuff, seasonal fruits, seasonal vegetables. It, you know, not just it's healthier for you. It also keeps you, you know, waiting for that season to come. So you when this apple season comes, you know, you're actually excited to have apples because, you know, it's a short season, and then you get to eat it. And you enjoy it a lot more rather than just seeing it and you're like, oh yeah, it's just an apple, and not appreciate those little things in life.
That's a really great concept, isn't it?
That's right. Oregon strawberries, it makes me think of where we have to eat them until we're sick because they're only going to be around for about 5 weeks.
Yeah. Right, and they're perfectly ripe for about 5 minutes.
That's right. That's right. That's incredibly, that is the quintessential appreciation of, yes, the food we eat, is that moment when it's perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
Are there greenhouses then? I mean, I know you were talking about the fact that they, you know, lamb comes from Australia. You have, you know, I mean, because I don't think of Saudi as having a lot of farms, but maybe there are greenhouses, or maybe there are farms.
Well, we do have Saudi lamb, of course. We have sheep, plentiful of sheep, but we do import for different reasons. Some are, you know, just demand of Australian lamb. That, you know, people want that, and but greenhouses, you know, I think so. I'm not very familiar with what is going on in the farming industry in Saudi. I know there's a big organic movement happening locally grown, and but what are the what are all the products being produced? I can't say.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, organic is becoming more popular. And I think if people just would think, oh, it's the way our great-great-grandparents used to grow food. I mean, just, you know, it's not some...
We're just doing it now. We should have been continuing to do it all along.
Exactly, exactly.
We thought we had a better idea.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
And we find out.
Well, there you are.
That's exactly right. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, I'm your host, Donna Quinn, but I'm also joined in the studio by the fabulous Marianne Myers, who is on the board engineering and also is with North Coast Food Web and will be asking questions because she is a fabulous cook in her own right and a foodie. So because we're talking today with Chef Badr Faiz, who has come to us from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. He is in town to work with Chef Chris Holland at Baked Alaska. And actually, we should probably talk about what's happening tonight at Baked Alaska.
That's probably a good idea. so we have Chef Faiz tonight will be doing a exhibition, cooking demonstration, and lecture. I'm talking about where he's come from, where he's trained, and what he's doing now. A little bit of life story meets culinary arts kind of demonstration, and followed by a little. It's not dinner. A little sampling of some of the food that he's going to make for us. And That's taking place this evening at our annex, located just next door to Baked Alaska. The event is sold out, so we've decided to live stream that. So if you at 5:30 this evening, if you want to hop on to the Baked Alaska restaurant Facebook page, we're going to give a shot at Facebook Live, and you can watch this all happen from the comfort of your own couch or desk or whatever.
Oh, that's a great idea. Good, good. Excellent. And tonight you're going to be showcasing some of the dishes that you love using our local ingredients, although you brought spices with you, right?
Yes, I have. The problem of being American trained and taught and living in Saudi is translating some of these ingredients from Arabic to English. So you know, after having a Skype call with Chef Holland, you know, we talked about the spices, and then you know, I didn't know the translation of some of these things, and I don't even know whether it's you know, what group of spices it is. It's just, you know, we use it, and I never really thought about it, so I just brought it. You know, that's I think the best thing to do is, and it's called Sheba. And it's used in what I'm gonna do today is sayadiya, which is a fish and rice dish, and it just the spice. Well, I can do it without the spice, but it's it just lends this kind of flavor and aroma that it just makes it much better.
Oh, we need the spices. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, really. And you, in your bakery, which is called Wheat and Butter,
yes,
in Jeddah, Saudi, what kinds of breads are you offering to the Saudi population?
So, like I said, it's a this concept is a B2B concept. So I supply businesses wholesale. But what I offer is a lot of customized breads for the different businesses, and the breads that I use or I make are European breads. From focaccia, ciabatta to burger buns and hot dog buns, but I do and I do everything by hand. So very minimal machines, just a big mixer and oven, of course. But other than that, everything is portioned by hand, shaped by hand, and then cooked.
And would you put butter on your bread like we do, or would you put olive oil, or what? I mean,
well, it depends. But yeah, we do you know, everything.
Good hummus on bread. Now, how can you beat that?
Yeah. Good hummus is always good. And so we do put butter. We do put oil. Cheese and jam is very big. We have burgers. We have Italian food. We have across the board. We have almost everything you would have here. You know, some of the cuisines that are very popular in Saudi are Italian, Thai, and Chinese. But we also, the burger scene is just exploding now. And the food truck scene is also coming up, and, you know, and it's exciting seeing that people. And they're all owned by Saudis, and they're actually working in the trucks. So we're breaking a lot of barriers, and it's exciting to see. I just need to kind of elevate some of these responsibilities and make sure that, you know, people are the business owners are providing things that are sustainable and also healthy for their consumer. You know, just spend a little bit more money on their ingredients to provide a better quality product.
I wonder if there's a kind of cheese that everyone loves there that's, you know, it seems like almost every culture has some kind of cheese that's uniquely theirs, and I can't imagine.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Cheese, yes, we have cheese. We have the soft cheeses, a lot of the soft cheeses, and because Saudi is in the middle of a lot of other cultures and a lot of other countries with their own cheese, but they kind of all come to Saudi, and it just becomes part of our diet. So we have a lot of soft cheeses that are covered with za'atar and olives and stuff like that, and also we import a lot of the other cheeses as well from the Italian and the Swiss and the French cheeses.
Just like we do.
Just like you do, exactly. Exactly.
Do you have a farmers markets in Saudi?
Not yet. But
you'll probably be at the forefront of that since you're a pioneering young man chef. You paved the way. Fortunately, your family was supportive when you said, "No, I know I come from a family of engineers, but I love food and I need to be involved in food." So I'm sure you will be at the forefront of that.
I'll give this responsibility to somebody else, but I'll help. For sure. If anybody is interested in starting this, if anybody is in Saudi listening at this time, you know, I'm always happy to help anybody who wants to do something good in food or anything else that I know. But food will stick with. I always have an open door, really.
Do you feel like we are needing to look at what we eat because more and more people are unhealthy because of fast food, and now because we know food is actually medicine. I mean, food is medicine. It is a therapeutic thing. So, and I know that you care because you've trained in Vienna, you've traveled, you've been almost all over the world working in amazing places and experiencing different cuisines. So, but this fast food phenomena is everywhere now. I mean, the drive-throughs, and so that's happening in Saudi Arabia. And so are you concerned about that from a health standpoint? And that's one of the reasons, too, that you're trying to help educate people about eating healthy food, which we certainly are trying to do here in the United States.
Yes, for sure. I'm not 100% against fast food. Is the quality of food or ingredients within the offering needs to be elevated, needs to be better, needs to have variety. Your body, a human body will create resistance from normal ingredients, but if somebody eats it way too much, your body will say stop, please, and then signs of illness will show up. So variety is very important. Fast food, you know, sometimes people are in a hurry and they need to eat, which is fine. But don't make it your diet. Don't make it your day in and day out kind of regimen. You need to have that variety of foods, vegetables, fruits, and you don't really need to eat meat every day. You know, just slow down, and every now and then have a home cooked meal. It's better for you. It's much more satisfying. Taking the time to actually cook it is also an accomplishment in itself, and very rewarding as well.
Are most people, in your experience at home, are most people cooking at home, or do people eat out more?
Well, we are a very young generation or a young country, and a lot of young families coming up that both husband and wife are working. So a lot of people are not learning how to cook, or actually cooking, you know, with the same reason that, you know, everybody else has. We don't have time, mm-hmm. it's work and all this stuff. But I still feel you should take the time to do this, and you know, as you get the hang of it, you can prep things for the next day to go and use up less time to prepare a home cooked meal and sharing it with your loved ones, and it just brings people together.
It absolutely brings people together. Yeah. It's a community builder within a household or within a culture.
For sure.
And it can be meditation, cooking yeah. and preparing
yes.
things. It's a time when you can just, you know, listen to some beautiful, you know, classical music or something and prepare. We only have a few minutes left, and I
what?
Would like... I know, it just went by so quickly.
I know.
and I would like to ask you, Chef Chris Holen, is there anything that you would like to tell the listening audience about that perhaps we haven't talked about?
How proper is this in today's time that we have so many commonalities with other countries around the world that we don't even realize or recognize. And, you know, we're all human, and we're all having similar struggles and similar successes at the same time. So I think that the opportunity to share our worlds through food is you can't put a value on that. You can't put a price tag on this kind of opportunity for all of us to look at what we have in common around the world, and how food is so very important, not just to nourish us physically, but to nourish us as humans.
Oh, that's beautiful, Chris. Yes, well said indeed. And Chef Badir Fayez, any last things you'd like to let the listening audience know?
Like Chef Holland said, you know, we're all the same. In retrospect, we will have the same goals and the same problems as well. So it's not we're all human in the end. And also, making, you know, that this fast-paced life needs to slow down. And this, I would tell people in Saudi, and I would tell this people here, and just take some a little bit of time off, because work will never end, and an hour out of your time to prepare something good and healthy, and with a lot of varieties, a lot of ingredients, local and seasonal ingredients. All of this will just add to the enjoyment of preparing this meal and sharing it with your loved ones. And that's one thing that I had a mentor once, I'll just say this real quick, that directed me to become a chef, and because he asked me what my hobbies were, and I said cooking, and he said, why? I said, because I like to see people's faces, you know, enjoying my food. And he's like, then great, do that. So that in itself is a rewarding thing that I do, cooking. So
it's really an opportunity to give a gift many times a day.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Indeed. Oh, I want to thank everyone, Marianne. Thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure, and now I'm hungry.
Oh yes, exactly. Well, but and for those who are who would like to witness and see and be part of this demonstration tonight, they can go to the Baked Alaska Facebook page, right, Chris?
Baked Alaska Facebook page. Yeah. So this is another thing we'd like to share, Baked Alaska in our new venture, Chef Out of Water. You know, trying to bring chefs around the world, giving them opportunities to have experiences that they may not otherwise have, to learn more, to get out of their comfort zone, be a little uncomfortable, and to learn.
Yes, indeed. And so we're excited that you were so thrilled that you're here, Chef Badir Fayez. And I know Chris is going to be taking you all around today to show you, to show off Astoria, our seafood, our Blue Scorcher, our Astoria Co-op, all the really wonderful, fun places.
Go for days. We had breakfast at Blue Scorcher a little bit ago. Obviously, Chef Badir has a bakery. Yeah, so I thought, hey, let's have breakfast. Let's go say hi to Joe Garrison. So he let us in the kitchen, and we chit-chatted for a little bit and had a really fantastic breakfast at Blue Scorcher.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, that's nice. Great. Oh, good, good. Yay. Well, again, thank you all so much. Thanks for doing this, Chris, for being part of this, and our appreciation to the Cultural Exchange Initiative from the King Abdulaziz Center for World Culture, this also being co-hosted by the Middle East Institute. Really fortunate to have you all here today. Again, thanks for engineering, Marianne, and for your laugh. I love your laugh. If we could can your laugh, it would be just a really good thing. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for his for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's a really healthy thing to do for your body, your mind, and your spirit. And then focus on all the good things that are happening in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. Focus on the things that are going well with gratitude. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you and for being here now, for doing the best you can in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.